Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Tuesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. The day after the natty. What's going on? Great to have you here. I'm in Southern California, and I would love to hear from you. Got an interview coming up next segment. Matt Norlander is going to join me at 9:20. We generally do not do that, but I wanted to get to him as early as I could. So that's coming up next segment. In the meantime, if you want to jump in, go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. Again, a ton of college basketball to talk about. UConn dominant, absolutely dominant last night. And we will get into all of that and what that means. Hit me up on the phones. Hit me up on the X platform at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. On this Tuesday, the second hour is open. Coming up the top of hour number three, NFL quarterback Andy Dalton. So those are the two interviews that we're looking at. 1-800-636-8686. If you know what you want to talk about, you want to hit me up right now. Without any further ado, let me jump right into it. In terms of last night's beatdown, and it was that, another beatdown, it had to be the least surprising, but still the most shocking run I've ever seen. UConn really did just rip back-to-back natties without anybody even giving them a game. And of course they did, but also, holy crap, did that really just happen? And how did that really just happen, especially in this day and age? UConn really just came back to this tournament as the defending champs and the number one overall seed with an enormous target on their back and basically told the entire world, come and get us. Essentially begged the entire world, come and get us. And nobody could even play with them again. Nobody. They just beat the field by a combined 140 points. That is the best point differential in the history of that tournament. So saying that this has been one of the most impressive and dominant two-year stretches in the history of the sport is not even a take. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's crazy. It's unprecedented. But it's not like Dan Hurley did not warn you all. 4 years ago, he told everybody, you better get us now because we are coming.
You know, people better get us now. That's all. You better get us now because it's coming.
I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. And I know a lot of you like him even less after me resetting that, which I'll get to a little bit later on, about what's with all the hate for this guy. But that, just step back from that for a minute. That is incredible. Like, dude really does have a crystal ball. He put the entire world on notice back in 2020. And he wasn't talking out his ass after a devastating loss. He was calling his shot. He let the entire world know, we are coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming, and we're coming to kick your ass. All your asses. We're coming to take every last one of you on, and we will be the last one standing. So you better get us right now. And then he went out, and he did it. And he backed it all up. Twice. And not only is he standing on top of the mountain, Ray, looking down on everybody else, not only is it Hurley and UConn and everybody else, nobody else even gave them a game in the last 2 years in the tournament. Nobody even belonged on the same floor as these guys the last 2 years in the tournament. And he did it during a period where it was supposed to be impossible to do. This is why it is Hurley and UConn and then everybody else. That's why he's the best coach, and that's the best program in America right now. Not even a Purdue team, the second best team in the country, that got 37-10 from their superstar center, one of the best players in decades. Not even they had any shot. Essentially, the big-on-big matchup that we were all waiting the entire tournament to see did live up to the hype, but the rest of the Boilermakers could not measure up. Just like nobody else could measure up over the last two tournaments. And of course, that was Dan Hurley's game plan. Let Edie cook. Shut everybody else down. And of course, that plan worked to perfection. One made three-pointer was never going to put Purdue in a position to win that game, much less compete. And getting annihilated on the offensive boards was never going to put Purdue in a position to win that game. So nobody should be surprised that Purdue was never in a position to win that game. And again, no shame in that. I'm not here to crack on Purdue. No shame in that. In fact, credit for getting as far as they did. Credit for coming back and rebuilding themselves and owning that horrible loss last year to FDU, a 16. Give them some freaking credit. So no shame in getting beaten the way they were last night, because nobody in the last two tournaments has been able to put themselves in a position to beat this UConn team or even take this UConn team to the wire or even stay within single digits. The closest anybody got to the Huskies in a final score over the last two tournaments was 13 points. And the head coach is in everybody's face, and still nobody can touch these guys. It's incredible. And frankly, I love it. I love it all. What's not to love? I'm serious. No, I mean that. Seriously. What's not to love? That's not rhetorical. I want to know from you haters. What's not to love?
I love it.
You have to help me out here, haters, because I don't really get what your problem is. I know that a lot of you guys can't stand these guys, and especially Dan Hurley. I'm just not really sure why. Why? Because he wins too much? Because he's too dominant? Because he made the tournament boring? Because he and they talk too much smack? Because he's up in everybody's grill? Because he never takes a step back? Because of his facial gestures and contortions? I mean, what is it, haters? Make up your mind. Is it the fact that his team is untouchable and he's not afraid to let everybody know? Or is it because he's too animated on the sidelines while he's coaching his untouchable team to dominant performances? I mean, what is it? Yeah, I know. I know what the answer is. As always, the answer is yes.
Great question. Yes. Next question.
It's all those things. You hate him and them for all those things. Or maybe it's just obnoxious UConn fan. I mean, Dan Hurley himself said it last week. Maybe people hate the team because the fans are obnoxious as bleep on social media.
And our fan base, again, is obnoxious as on social. So everyone hates us.
Not me. I mean, I love that he even said that. Everybody hates us because our fans are obnoxious as bleep on social. Not me, I don't hate
us.
You know what I like? I like coaches who never lose. I like coaches who could talk smack and back it up. Personally, I dig excellence. Let me just say this.
I personally believe
I really like excellence. I personally believe if he was your coach, you would love the guy. And let me also say this. There's a damn good reason Lexington is all jacked up right now. A damn good reason Kentucky wants this guy so badly. The reason is he's the best coach in the country, running the best program in the country right now. Unfortunately, Lex Vegas' early returns are not looking great on Dan coming to save your Kentucky Wildcats. At least not if you take Dan at his word from last night.
You intend to be back at UConn next year. You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can.
In other words, sorry, Lex. You know, as the saying goes, happy wife, happy life. And we all know that wifey washes the lucky Red Dragon boxers. So whatever she says goes. She's in charge. Now, technically, the old man did not really answer the question, did he? Look, I know. I know Kentucky wants him. Obviously. Why wouldn't you? The question is, why would Dan Hurley want Kentucky right now? Dude has everything he needs right where he is, And UConn offers him something that no other program can. A chance at a three-peat. A chance to do what only John Wooden ever pulled off. At a time when it should be utterly impossible to pull off. And yet, Hurley absolutely has a look at it. He's got a look at doing the impossible. So why would he want to go to Lexington, clean up their mess, shoulder all of that pressure and responsibility and heat that comes with that gig? I'm not saying that he can't handle it. This guy clearly can handle anything. But why would he want all that? I can't think of a single reason. Why would he leave what he has for all of that in Las Vegas? I cannot think of a single reason. Well, maybe one reason. Maybe one. The paper, the bag, the cash, money, of course.
Straight cash, homie.
The obvious answer right there, straight cash, homie. So I don't know exactly what the number is. I've seen some reports that he's making in the neighborhood of $5 million. I would imagine after going back-to-back, he's probably in line for a raise to be in a nicer neighborhood. But if that number right now is around $5 million, I think it's pretty safe to assume that UConn is not going to be able to match what Kentucky has to offer. I mean, what if Kentucky rolled up on Dan, Mrs. Hurley, and offered her and them double?
Double it.
Exactly. What if Trevor Price was there, too, and Kentucky said, hey, whatever your number is, we'll double it.
Double it.
And what if all of a sudden he was looking at an eight-figure offer? Might that change his mind? Or maybe the better question, might that change her mind? Doesn't seem likely. But doesn't seem impossible. Either way, you should enjoy the good times while they're here, Storrs. Maybe they'll always be here. Maybe he'll never go anywhere. Although I know you don't need me to tell you that. Enjoy the good times, I mean. Because, believe me, I remember the celebrations of last year. You remember the ones that involved tearing down a lamppost and using it as a battering ram. Well, apparently, I'm not the only one who remembers that. Campus police remember that as well, which is why they actually removed a bunch of the light posts on campus last week. But apparently, they did not get every last one of them. Also, a UConn student found a new object to use as a battering ram. Check out this report from NBC Connecticut last night.
But a moment marked by a large police presence, with several dozen UConn officers intervening in the crowds and state police setting up a perimeter.
They're aware and making sure everyone's safe, so I like that.
Despite that, UConn's campus sustained some damage. A few light posts torn down, some outdoor seating destroyed, a flower pot tipped over, and some tearing street signs out of the ground, throwing them through the air. Drone Ranger catching the moment it turned into vandalism.
One of those signs ripped up from the street came right through this rec center window, sending shards of glass all over the gym floor with a cleaning crew right nearby.
And what? Yeah, I'm not going to say that I'm going to condone it, but I will ask, how about them setting up a, quote, perimeter? A perimeter for what? A light post perimeter? How about the reporter saying, and a student ripped a street sign out of the ground and threw it through a store window?
Out of the ground, throwing them through the air. Drone.
Yeah, well, if they're throwing them through the air, be glad that spinning daisy cutter of a street sign didn't go through somebody's heart. Like that table leg back in the day when Ron Artest was running in that local game and a guy died.
One of my friends, you know, he was playing basketball. They was winning the
game.
They were so competitive. They threw a piece of leg from a table and they threw it. It went right through his heart and he died.
Out of the ground, throwing them through the air.
You're a legend. Do you know, if James Kelly were sitting at that console right now, that would have taken him 9 months to pull those two things together. It's kind of an unfair comp, but that was incredible, Alvy. the way you juxtapose those two things. You're welcome. How about Ron Artest? The Ron Artest back in the day in some local run where somebody snapped off a table leg and ran it through a guy's heart and killed him in a local run. Now, is that true? I don't really know. But I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of an amazing story. And maybe it is true.
He died right on the court. So, like,
I don't know. I would think that if you have local runs that are that violent or that aggressive or even that competitive, maybe you keep all the tables away from the court before somebody weaponizes one of the table legs. Anyway, under the circumstances, I think they were pretty well behaved last night. I mean, they need to go back to back. I guess when they run out of lampposts to rip out of the ground, they just start yanking street signs out of the ground. And then next year, when they go for that three-peat, and they rip out all the caution signs and stop signs and horses crossing signs, man, they'll find something else. Because there's always something else. Trees. There will be something else in the ground that they can rip out and weaponize. Or maybe that's just the store's version of a horsecraft sando. You see, in stores, if they're celebrating a championship, that means a door or a wall or a window has to have a large metal object rammed through it.
Out of the ground.
They don't need to grease lampposts because nobody's going to climb lampposts. Instead, they're going to rip them right out of the ground and ram them through something. Those are just the rules in stores. They batter your ass on the court. Then they batter buildings on campus with metal objects that they rip out of the ground. That's how they roll. The standard is the standard. And right now, that is the standard in college hoops. The world starts, the college basketball world anyway, in stores. Seriously, it's them and everybody else. It's Dan Hurley and everybody else. It's UConn and everybody else. Flat out domination. They've won six natties since 1999. It's absolutely amazing to think there was actually a conversation. Well, they're not really a blue blood. The hell they're not. Six natties in 25 years.
It's coming.
Oh, it's here. It's here. It's been here. It was already here before they ran right through that tournament this year after losing five of their top eight scorers. And they're doing it the right way. And I know a lot of you want to hate on Dan Hurley. You're barking up the wrong tree. You got the wrong guy. I love him. I love that family. I love Dan. I love Bobby. I've never spoken to the old man, I don't think. But I love the old man because he threw those two kids. He sired those two. I love that family. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. So what I want to do is keep the reaction coming. Get on the phones. That's not too much to ask. And I want to get out relatively on time, at least for me, so I can get to Matt Norlander. That's coming up next. Andy Dalton, top of hour number three. Man, hats off to the champs. Back to back. Don't miss Power Torque Tools DIY Days. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Power Torque hand tools come with a lifetime guarantee. Right now, you can save big on the best hand tools, power tools, jacks, and more. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the right power torque tools for your next DIY project. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. And a tremendous Tuesday to you. Once again, telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. Use it. And if you're on hold, stay there. Because right now, as promised, we are joined by a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer, a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is also the co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Of course, he is Matt Norlander. Matt, it is awesome to have you on the morning after the Natty, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. Yeah, it has been a very long weekend, but a wonderful weekend, an incredible tournament. UConn's dominance, you know, we have had now two straight years here, Jim, where we've had a just a historic run. So we were low on drama, but you know me, man, I love this blessed tournament. I love this Final Four every year. Running on fumes, but I am absolutely fired up and ready to go for you, buddy.
I'm with you, my brother. Low on drama, but high on excellence. UConn rolls right through the tournament field for the second year in a row, and Dan Hurley did it, Matt, after losing five of his top eight scorers from last year's team. So the question is, how did he do it? How were they even more dominant this year than they were last year?
I asked Dan Hurley that very question on the court last night for CBS Sports HQ, and basically what he told me was it comes down to recruiting not just the right guys, and that is, I understand that can sound like so cliche, but I am just telling you, knowing Dan Hurley, having known him more than a decade now, he is brutally honest as a recruiter, and you have to be wired a very specific way to be able to play for him and that program, because it is going to be an experience unlike anything you've ever gone through before as a player. He is going to hold you accountable. You're going to learn how to play a high-level, intelligent style of basketball. You're going to be very selfless in how you do it, and you're going to commit all the way. And a practice in the middle of November is going to feel like you're getting ready to play the national title game the next day. And so what they've been able to do is have this changeover, identify the right guys. Cam Spencer, I was actually late last night, got back to the CBS hotel, and I was talking with Jay Wright, and he said Dalton Connect was an amazing transfer, you know, probably the transfer of the year, but Cam Spencer and what he did for this team, he was the most important transfer of the season. And in light of what we saw him do for the Huskies in this tournament, it's hard to argue against what Jay told me. It's incredible and a great balance, and you'll notice the way that UConn did it both years, they have had star freshmen. Stephon Castle shine on the big stage here, but they've had key components, guys who are longtime players and an injection of transfer talent. It's not easy for teams and coaches to get that magical combination, but UConn, Hurley, that staff was able to do so. And in my opinion, and I wrote this overnight for CBSSports.com, I think this is one of the best teams in college basketball in decades. And I'm not just talking two decades, Jim, I'm talking three or four decades. And given where we are with the portal and NIL, we're never going back to the way that it was. There is a real chance that we will never see this again. And I'm not saying specifically back-to-back. I'm saying back-to-back championships from a program doing it by rolling teams. 12 wins in a row in the tournament. They covered the spread every single time and won by at least 13 points every single time. I was in awe of last year's tournament run. That was an average of 20 points per game. This one was 23.3. It's insane what Dan Hurley and that program just did, and we can't normalize it, because I don't know if we truly will ever see a two-year run like this ever again.
Matt Norlander breaking it all down for us. So, Matt, having said that, given the changing landscape of the sport, to the point you just made, the portal, the player turnover, if we'll never see a two-year run like that ever again, and I tend to agree with you, if repeating is virtually impossible, what do you think their chances are for a three-peat?
I mean, I'm going to answer the question, but I'm very aware of the fact that depending on what I say here, it's going to eventually make it back to Dan Hurley, a man who has never shied away from letting me know about his slice and how I didn't give him enough credit that he felt he deserved. I picked this team 13th in the preseason, and about 2 weeks into November, he made sure to remind me that I was an absolute idiot for doing so. Having said all of that, I can't put it past them for at least a remote possibility. I mean, it's insane to think about everyone they're going to lose. We could look up in a few years and see that four of the five guys in the starting lineup are successful NBA players. You're telling me that they're going to reload like this and have the, you know, the development of the younger guys and truly be a top 10 team and vying for a third straight national championship? I'm not going to say it can't happen. I'm going to say if that does happen, then the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame needs to break its own rules and protocols and induct Dan Hurley in the next day, because he's going to the Hall of Fame, by the way. That's the other thing with this, getting two in a row. He's going to join his father in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame and they'll be in the conversation. We'll see what they do in the portal. But even Hurley said last night in the postgame presser, and then I used this anecdote to close out my column, Jim, I was walking with him on the court, and after he had cut the net, it was around his neck, and he's kind of making his way from one place down to the other on the court, and he's trying to soak it all in. But then out of nowhere, he asked the staffer, hey, where's the East Regional next year? Just kind of like already thinking ahead, and they tell him it's Providence is the first weekend site, and then it's Newark, New Jersey, Prudential Center. And then he gives it a beat, and he goes, and where's the Final Four? This dude was 25 minutes removed from triple zeros on the clock, and he's already wondering about the path to get to a third straight championship. There was no one in the sport like Dan Hurley.
So, no, definitely a different cat. Like, he allowed himself 25 minutes to enjoy that. So, having said that, Matt, given how relentless he is, given how obsessed he is, and given what their culture is, how much catching up do the other national powers have to do to get where the Huskies have been the last 2 years?
I think there's massive ground to make up. That's not to say that other national powers can't ultimately, we won't look up next March and see, you know, UConn on the three line and other schools as a one or two seed having done better. But look at where they are. Right now, UConn indisputably has the claim as the best program in the sport. Not the best team, it's the best program. Like, it's operating at the top of the mountain, okay? And it's not really close right now. And Dan Hurley is the best coach in the sport. You know, Bill Self has maintained their reputation for a long time, and some people might even say, give me a random group of five to start a program, I'm going to take Bill Self over everyone. You still can. I won't fight with you. But Dan Hurley has a major, major claim to that. And so I think a lot of schools are going to do a lot of thinking, looking at how UConn did it. Now, Hurley, as you know so well, Jim, how he is wired and how he does it, it is different. I think I even saw you tweet something on Monday night about, like, how can you not like what this UConn team is or what Dan Hurley is? I am all the way there with you, man. I get it. Sometimes the in-game antics, the facial expressions, he was particularly all over the officiating in the first half last night to a level that I had not seen from him in a while. But I think his presence, his self-awareness, everything that that he's willing to talk about, from his vulnerability to, you know, doing yoga, trying to be mindful and admitting his faults, is a wonderful thing for the sport. And if coaches and programs can't replicate who he is as a person, that's more than okay, but look at what he has done. His assistants, Kamani Young, Luke Murray, very, very tough to emulate, and catching up ground on UConn will not be easy, because this program, which is, you know, established a blue blood situation as of last year's national championship, now, in my opinion, we have a modern dynasty.
You and I are on the same page, man. I mean, what's not to like? What's not to respect? What's not to get? The guy's dominant, absolutely dominant. He's built a monster. Matt, before you go, let me ask you this. The tournament might be over, but there's still a lot of news in college basketball. John Calipari agrees to take the Arkansas job. You yourself posted on the X platform after Kentucky lost to Oakland on March 21st, and I quote, "There's a very real chance that John Calipari has coached his last game at Kentucky." End of quote. Of course, you were right. So what is your reaction to Cal landing in Arkansas?
My reaction is that news breaking on the Sunday of the Final Four was something I will never forget. Cal, we couldn't have waited a little bit longer, because, you know, obviously it's not yet official. I'm not surprised by it. I'll try and be quick with you here, Jim, but I, you know, going back weeks and weeks, I had been told that John Calipari was, you know, not in love with his situation in Lexington anymore. He actually did have interest and intrigue in the Ohio State opening after that was official, when Chris Holtman got fired in February. The timing was never going to line up, and it never got super serious, but he was side-eyeing some stuff. And I had been told previously, hey, listen, if the Arkansas job ever came open, just keep an eye on that, because that's one that he has some real affinity for, in part because he's got a long-standing relationship with the Tyson family, who is, you know, among the biggest donors to the entire university. I think it's best for Calipari and for Kentucky that this is happening. I think it is a godsend, particularly for Calipari, because for his own mental well-being, I think it is a benefit. And maybe he can make a good push here. We await, to see what next official steps come with this. With him in the Arkansas job, but it, at this point, it's just a matter of, you know, T's and Q's and filling all that out. But it's a fascinating story, because he's leaving a top three job in the sport to take a top 20 job in the sport. Arkansas is incredible, but can he invigorate that program and get it to the levels? And I know you are tight with Musk. Musk got him to 3 second weekends in a row after they had not made the Sweet 16 since 1996. It's going to be very interesting to see Calipari and those colors remaining in the SEC. And meantime, a search will be underway here for Kentucky's opening, and I'm very intrigued to see how long that takes and who ultimately takes that job, because they're going to try some big heavy hitters, and I do think ultimately it's Kentucky, Jim. They're going to get a big name. It's just a matter of how far down the line they go and who ultimately says yes.
Super quick follow. Who do you think that'll be?
Oh, all right. As we speak in real time here, I did check in with sources about like the Billy Donovan stuff. I'm going to say it's not going to be him. Not that it can't be him, but as things stand right now, he's coaching the Bulls. They're trying to get into the playoffs and all this. I just don't know if that's going to wind up being the thing. He's turned Kentucky down twice. If you made me guess this morning, and I got to be clear on this, it is a guess because I checked in on the Kentucky stuff this morning. Like, the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, hasn't officially triggered this search, so we'll see. I'm going to tell you, Scott Drew, but Jim, we have to wait and see. There are a lot of intriguing candidates out there. Scott Drew is probably the best blend of qualified candidate, how he is wired. I think he'd actually be a really good match with Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director. So that's my initial guess. But this search, it'll evolve over the course of the week, and I wouldn't expect it to be a super, super quick turnaround. Obviously, a very big job. A lot of important people in that state are going to want to have some input, but ultimately it's going to be Mitch Barnhart's call. And we see where Kentucky goes as we have a seismic shift. What happened Sunday, Jim, very few things could run alongside a national championship game between 2-1 seeds, but John Calipari in Arkansas, that was an earthquake and kind of the news event that we'll remember years and years and years from now.
What a tremendous conversation the morning after. He is a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer. He is a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is also the co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Matt, I know it was a long weekend, a long night. Appreciate you, brother, very much. Thanks for doing that, and I will run you down again soon. Great job by you as always, Matt.
Yeah, Jim, you know, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me on again and again this season. And have a wonderful spring. It's always an absolute joy to be on your show.
You too, dude. Much respect. Much respect to you, Matt. Matt Norlander joining us, one of the best in the business and a rising star. All right, your thoughts on all of that? So glad we can run him down the morning after. If you're on hold, hang in there. If not, I do have an open phone line. Go ahead and use it. Right now, let me get to the bottom of the hour. Here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now would be an excellent time to call. My thanks to Matt Norlander joining us the day after the championship game. So we're open until 11 o'clock. Andy Dalton, NFL quarterback, joins me then. Wide open until then. So start dialing right now, 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Rome, nice interview with Matt. He's a total pro. No disrespect, but could Alvy please compare the start of Matt's interview with the start of a Ryan in Sacktown beef? I'm no Alvin, but I'm pretty sure that I detected a similar satisfied giggle. Signed, Eric in L.A. All right, well, I'll play along. Not that you should ever, ever mention those two in the same sentence, but I'll play along. Here's Matt first. Matt, it is awesome to have you on the morning after the natty, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. It has been a very...
All right, that was Matt's response. I think what I detected was a little fatigue. It's been a long grind, but he's here for us. Little fatigue, very little sleep, ton of caffeine, but here to do a job. That's what I detected in that giggle. Here is Ryan in Sacktown.
Oh, Johnny boy in New York.
I'm feeling wonderful.
All right, so what I detect in the second when he says, I'm feeling wonderful, that's a lie.
I'm feeling wonderful.
He's laughing because he knows he's lying.
I'm feeling wonderful.
I guarantee he doesn't feel wonderful.
Johnny boy.
But it doesn't matter how he feels. He's got a job to do, and he showed up, and he nailed it. He did his job. Ryan, on the other hand, is full of false confidence, false bravado. Like he's about to drop a bomb on somebody. Like somebody's about to get roasted. Ryan's acting like, I'm about to change the trajectory of the jungle forever. Stand back, y'all. Wait to hear this one, Rome. And then homeboy urinates down the side of his leg. Let's not confuse a guy starting with a tired giggle. I feel amazing, which was code for it, dude. Made it to the finish line, got through the tournament, stayed up late, knocked out my column, got to get on a plane, here for you, Rome. I feel wonderful. Then there's Ryan. Johnny boy.
Johnny boy.
You're about to get roasted.
Spark up one of Cuban's Cubans.
Yeah, no. No, not one of the same. Oh, and by the way, look who's here. Ryan in Sacktown. Very next guy. JR. The Dan Hurley sound reminds me of Plaschke in that Wisco ice barn. Not really. Which Dan Hurley sound? Which piece of sound? None of them remind me of Plaschke in that bar, but which one? Ed Apple Pasta writes, Dear Jim, as a neutral observer, I can answer your question about why people don't like Dan Hurley in UConn. Hurley has an in-your-face swagger that annoys a lot of people. Not me, but that attitude ticks off many. Hey, Apple Pasta, thank you very much for the clarification. Thanks for dialing me in. I didn't know that. Thanks for listening to the open where I pretty much laid that out. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. I don't know why people hate this guy and that program so much. Well, I know why, actually. I know exactly why people don't like Dan Hurley in UConn. I'm just asking, why do people not like Dan Hurley in UConn? Well, I know why. But thanks for setting the record straight. Thanks for clarifying and setting me straight. Oh, no, I'm well aware why they don't like him. I'm just asking, why don't they like him? Hey, Rome. Like, I'm going to try and make some sense of this. It gets a little wearisome trying to decode all your entries, but I'll do my best. Rome, why the hell does the championship game start so late on the East Coast? Thank God the second half was a blowout so I could go to bed. Those of us that don't have man boobs and a rich wife still need to get up for work today. Signed, Mike R. in Toronto. All right, so let's do a little digging here. What does this have to do with moobs? Who has moobs? And who is living with moobs off their rich wife? Must be somebody on the West Coast because he's saying, I don't have moobs. Or a rich wife, I've got to get up and go to work. So before I try to identify who he's talking about, let me make one more point. Hey, Mike, is this the first time you've ever watched a game? I mean, all the East Coast always have lived with this. This is not a new thing. Have you never watched Monday Night Football? I've always wondered how those of you on the East Coast make your lives work with games that start at 9 p.m. Eastern. I've never understood that. Ever. And I stay up every single night pretty late, prepping, working, watching games. I've never understood how those of you on the East Coast stay up until midnight watching games or later. Well, Mike R. in Toronto, this must be some new concept. Like, Mike, is that the first game you've ever watched at night? All right, so that aside, that's not a new development, Mike. Let's go back to his first riddle. Thank God the second half was a blowout so I could go to bed. Those of us who don't have man boobs and a rich wife still need to get up for work today. First of all, do me a favor. Just say it. If you're talking about somebody with boobs and a rich wife, just say who it is. I'm not like insert fatty with the rich wife. Fat. That way I don't have to work and lose more brain cells decoding the riddle. But, all right, I'll play along. Let's see. You are in Toronto. The game starts late on the East Coast. I'm not like, quote, somebody with man boobs and a rich wife. And I've got to get up and go to work today. Ding! Ding! I got it. He's talking about Silk.
Bruh.
Bruh.
Some name recognition.
Bruh. You forgot about that. I'm not somebody who's got man boobs, a rich wife, name recognition.
I do have some name recognition.
A strap. And DJ's digits. And I have to get it for work today. Silk catching a stray because the game started late. And he has moobs. And a rich wife.
Bruh.
And there's Borquin Mike. No matter how many times I point out that Borquin Mike's takes are terrible, he just keeps coming back for more. And they just keep getting worse. Borquin Mike. Remember, it was Borquin Mike who said to me early in the tournament, hey, Rome, pump the brakes on UConn. Easy, Rome. Pump the brakes on UConn. What's so great about UConn, Rome? Easy there, Tiger. When I said they were going to run right over everybody en route to their double natty, and they did. There was Borquin Mike, the black cloud that is Borquin Mike, the wet blanket that is Borquin Mike, the cooler that is Borquin Mike. Yo, bro, I'm not even going to read your entry. You've already done enough damage. Well, no, actually, Mike, I want the world to know how your mind works. Congrats to UConn and Coach Hurley, who I really like. But my goodness, could they have had an easier path through the tournament? I didn't think I could come up with a worse take than chill on UConn, Rome. But congrats, Mike, you just did it. Hey, Mike, you know why their path was so easy? Because they were so much better than everybody. Wow, bro. Yeah, that's why. That's why. They didn't have a close game in 2 years because the selection committee set up the easiest path for them. Right, Mike? Stay tuned.